Open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and this morning we'll be studying the last verses of chapter 12. The last verses of chapter 12. And I say that because these verses are so closely intertwined that it's very difficult to see them separately. We must see the truth that they teach as they are revealed to us in the Word of God. As we began studying the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we noticed that there appeared a great wonder or a sign, a symbol in heaven. John saw a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. We understand, as we've studied the scriptures, that this is a sign of the nation of Israel. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. This simply means that it will be through the nation of Israel that the Messiah will be born. He will be the King of the Jews and the Savior of all mankind. He will die on the cross for the sins of everyone who's ever lived in the world. He'll be a Messiah and King to Israel and a deliverer and a Savior to the Gentiles. Now, the Bible tells us there was another sign in heaven, and there was a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. We understand this to mean Satan. It also represents the Antichrist, the false prophet. It is a symbol of all those things that are to occur in the very last days of man's existence under this present circumstance. As we study the Bible, we know that just after Jesus comes for his people, there will be a period of time called the tribulation. And it is 7 years in length. Now, it is at this particular time that we focus our attention this morning, this period of 7 years tribulation. Now, what's going to occur as we read this morning from the latter verses of chapter 12, is the things that will occur in the last period, or the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. These are things that are in the future. They're not occurring right now, and they haven't occurred in the past. John is seeing things that will happen one of these days. And these are the things that John saw. He saw the nation of Israel. He saw the nation of Israel as she travailed as a woman to bring forth this child who would be the Savior of mankind. He then saw another sign in heaven, and that's a sign of Satan. And the Bible tells us that Satan, in this position of being in the heavens, the heavenly places, that there was a war in heaven. That Michael and his archangels fought against Satan and his archangels, and Satan prevailed not. And Satan then was cast out of heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the world, he was cast out into are upon the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now this is what we're talking about this morning. This time when Satan literally lives on the earth, along with all of his angels. And he is restricted from leaving the earth. You'll notice in verse 12 or verse 10 that because of this, the accuser is cast down. That is, Satan is the accuser. And heaven rejoices. And they've been able to overcome him, that is, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Now, therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth, and of the sea. Notice, there is happiness in heaven. Rejoice, O ye heavens, and the people that dwell therein. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. And the reason that a woe is pronounced upon the earth and the sea is because the dragon, Satan, has been cast out of his place, and he can never return again to that place, that habitation, that opportunity that he had going to and fro, that is, from the earth and going into the presence of God Almighty, and there accusing saved people as to their sins, and opposing the work of God, and involving himself in the deception of mankind, and as the Bible tells us, of the nations of the earth. He is cast out. He prevailed not. He is now on earth, and his accusations are silenced. And because of that, the heavens are to rejoice, and there is then created what we might call hell on earth. Now that's what I want us to look at and think about this morning. When Satan is cast out of heaven, and he no longer can accuse God's people, he no longer has recourse before God's throne to make any claims about anything. Michael has prevailed, and Satan is cast out, rejoicing in heaven, rejoicing by all the people who are in heaven, but woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the Bible tells us Satan is cast down. Notice, for the devil is come down unto you, that is to the people on the earth, having great wrath. Why is Satan so filled with wrath? Why is Satan so angry? Well, he's just been cast out of his place. He's just been placed on the earth, and he can't rise any higher than the earth anymore. And he's angry for that reason, and also because he knows he hath but a short time. And for these 3.5 years, 42 months, a time, times and a half time, according to the word of God, Satan is on the earth. And it's a time of hell on earth. It's a time that is referred to in the Old Testament as Jacob's trouble. It's a time such as there never has been before, and there never will be again. It's a time when Satan literally is on the earth, restrained to the earth, and in his great wrath, he brings great tribulation upon this earth. Now notice, he was cast down, and because of this, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Remember when we were beginning our study of the book of Revelation, when we came to the seventh seal, we spoke of the third woe, the second woe, the first woe. Now we're looking at a woe. Now woe simply means a time of grief and sorrow. So grief and sorrow and pain to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. God seems to say, as he speaks and as John looks at this vision, that now all of the people who live on the earth and all of the people who may have fled into the sea seeking some sort of relief from the affliction that comes because Satan is ultimately cast out of heaven and is now dwelling on earth, that they cannot escape. All of the painful and the afflicting persecution that will fall upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Not Satan isn't going to make it miserable simply for people who are God's people, but he's going to make it miserable for everyone who lives on the earth. Why? For the devil is come down. He has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. This word great wrath means anger, burning anger. Can you imagine Satan filled with burning anger? and of all the sorrow and grief that he can cause. When you look at his character, he is the deceiver. He is the accuser. He is the false Christ. He is the pseudo-God. He involves himself as the head of a religion at this particular time. You remember reading your Bibles earlier in the 13th chapter of Revelation, we learn of the beast and his mark. And we're going to be studying that tonight and for the next two or three Sundays. The beast and the false prophet, the mark of the beast. This is the time that we're talking about. It's going to be a time of starvation. It's going to be a time of great pain because of plagues that are set forth upon the earth. It is the most terrible time that mankind will have ever known. It's called the Great Tribulation. It is created by the furious anger of Satan because he can never get back into the presence of God, and he knows that he has but a short time. The word that's translated short here means little. It's used of number, magnitude, amount, and time. It literally means that this man's time is very brief. What's going to happen? The mighty angel will come and bind Satan and will place him into a prison where he'll be kept for 1,000 years. Now that'll be what we call the millennial reign. And the reason that Christ will be able to do all that he will do, and the reason that God's people will be able to accomplish all that they accomplish, and because there'll be a time of peace, plenty, and prosperity, is because Satan is bound or chained and imprisoned for 1,000 years, and also because Christ is king. Christ has never been king. He was crucified when he came earlier to this world. He was the suffering Messiah. But the Bible tells us he's coming back. And when he comes back, he will then become the conquering king of the book of Revelation. He'll sit upon the throne of his father David, and he will reign and rule for 1,000 years in righteousness. But 3.5 years before the millennial reign begins, there will be hell on earth because Satan will be here in person, and he will be filled with furious anger because he has but a short time. There are some who worship the devil. There are some who long for the enthronement of evil in the world. Those people have no conception of what this earth would be like if Satan was living here and all of the restraining power of God's people and God's church and God's word and God's spirit, if all of that was removed from this earth and evil headed by Satan was enthroned, then there literally would be hell on earth. Now, during this period of time, the Bible tells us that Satan pursues and tries to destroy this woman. Now, notice. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Well, we remember this incident from the earlier verses, so we know that that is the nation of Israel. That is the Christ, the one who gave to us by flesh, as Paul said, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think of this, we have to understand that Satan, in his anger, hopes again to destroy the people that are called the Jews. The Bible tells us that he persecuted. This word means to hunt down, to pursue, to cause to flee, to pursue with hatred one's enemy. So Satan, when he's cast to the earth, persecutes. He pursues with hatred his enemies, and the nation of Israel are his enemies. Now listen at verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. When Satan comes to the earth, he immediately begins to pursue and try to destroy the nation of Israel that is here on earth as a nation of people. And as he seeks to destroy her, she has the capacity to flee. And as she flees, he pursues her. And she then is given a place, the Bible tells us, in the wilderness. Let's look now to the prophecy of Daniel. I really believe that as you study the nation of Israel, that in order to understand her place in this particular time of suffering, we need to study the book of Daniel. That's why it's so important that we have some idea of this particular book and its prophecy. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, and verse 41 and 42. Read with me there, or listen carefully if you like. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 41. And he shall enter also into the glorious land. Now, we're talking about the opposer of God's people. He shall enter into the glorious land. That's obviously Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand, that's Satan, also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Now, in this prophecy, it is specific that the Antichrist, that's Satan, will not be able to overthrow Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. These are countries, these are geographic locations that will not fall to Satan. At least they will provide a shelter in the wilderness for this woman who is pursued by Satan. And the word wilderness simply has in it the idea of a deserted place. This is, I think, the middle of the week. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 7. And verse 25, and you'll see why we use this phrase, time, times, and a half time, as meaning the 3 1/2 years. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. This is obviously Antichrist. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. In other words, he is a very aggressive personality. You see, when Satan comes to the earth, he's going to inhabit the body of a man. When God came to this earth, he inhabited the body of a man. That is, Jesus Christ was God in flesh. And when Satan comes to this earth, he's going to inhabit the body of man. He will be godlessness. He will be Satan clothed in human flesh. Now, he's referred to as the beast. He's referred to in other places as the Antichrist. Just like God had his Christ, Satan will have his Christ. Now, we're going to get into a study of these in a more detailed way, but I want you to get an overview of it. And this seems so very complicated, and you say, I wonder if we'll ever understand it all. Well, we will someday. We may make some mistakes. I'm going to try not to. I'm trying my best not to. But I may make some mistakes. But I don't think they'll be radical. I don't think there'll be mistakes. I know there'll not be mistakes that'll change the Word of God or the plans of God. It'll just show my ignorance and my incapability to comprehend the Scriptures. But we're going to try to put these things together. Try to show you how that Satan is a great imitator. Now this person that he's talking about here in chapter 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High, that is this Antichrist, this beast, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, that he's going to persecute them. That's what we're studying about. And to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand. Now notice how long they'll be given unto his hand, until a time and times and the dividing of times. And those people who've studied these scriptures a lot more than I have and made a lot more decisions than I've ever made conclude that these are the 3.5 years of the last part of the tribulation period. Now look at Daniel chapter 12 while we're there. Very last chapter of the book of Daniel. Now notice in verses 1 and 2. He said, why do we need to know this stuff, preacher? Because not only do you have a right to know everything the Bible teaches, you have a right to be fed the meat of God's Word, but I'm convinced you have an obligation to understand just as well as I have an obligation to understand. We're all to study the Word of God. We need the meat of God's Word. We need the milk of God's Word. You're God's people, and we're living in troublesome times. We're living in perilous times. We're living in an age when true Christianity is being set aside for a religion of carnality and flesh. And you need to be strong, and the only thing that's going to make you strong is the meat of God's Word. You'll have to have it. You can't get strong drinking the meat of God's Word. You're going to have to have the milk of God's Word. You're going to have God's meat. And you're growing and you're getting strong in God. And we're going to keep on teaching, not just rudimentary facts, elementary things. We're going to teach all of God's Word. And you'll know these things. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. And then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood another two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, verse 6 of chapter 12, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? You see that word, wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half time, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. I think it's a clear-cut reference to this particular time that we're studying in the book of Revelation. Satan comes to the earth. He incarnates himself as a man, and he pursues this woman, Israel, and attempts to destroy her who has brought the man-child into the world. And the woman and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And we have two options here. Some have said this is a literal flood of water that's unleashed by earthquake activity, and that as the flood of water pours out toward these countries that are mentioned in the book of Daniel, and they've been able to show how that this great body of water could actually flow out if there was an earthquake that opened the way, and that's a possibility. It's a good possibility that it's literal water. And as this water begins to reach this woman, Israel, at this particular place, and Edom, the other countries, then a great chasm opens up in the earth and swallows up or swallows down this great flood of water. That is a possibility. We need to accept that this could literally be true. But if it is symbolic language, waters generally are symbolic of armies. So we would assume that a great army then pursues the nation of Israel, And that if it is a great army, as the waters cover the earth, so the army would cover the ground of the earth, but then a great earthquake would occur and swallow up these men of Satan who are in the army of Satan, who are perhaps at least headed up by this multitude of fallen angels who are marching in this particular army. You know, last night I did something I've never done before from the viewpoint of watching a movie. I watched Star Wars. And Brother Baker told me it's a good movie, and it was, Brother Baker. I didn't intend to like it, okay? But I enjoyed it. And the electronics of that particular movie are extraordinary. And it's all science fiction, of course. You know, many of the things that they portrayed there are almost within our capability because of the great advances that we've made in electronics. Now, I say that to say this. We have really, perhaps, two real choices to make as we study the book of Revelation. That is, things are figurative and symbolic, or they are literal. Now, if this is a literal flood, and nature herself is involved in the last days, then that's the way God will do it. If this is a figurative language, and these are warriors, they may be the kind of warriors that we thought we saw last night. They may be literally men of evil forces. There'll be millions of fallen angels on this earth during that period of 3.5 years. There'll be literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them to do the work that must be done. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. And the earth helped the woman. That means to run to help, to give aid. And the earth gave aid to the woman. And the earth swallowed up. It means to gulp down, literally, the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth, that is, filled with anger, with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word wrath is an ancient English word, but it means anger together for the desire for revenge, to desire to kill and destroy. The word remnant means the ones left, remaining ones, or the rest. And we know who these people are. You remember in the book of Revelation chapter 3 what God had done earlier. The Bible tells us that he had sealed 12,000 Jews from every tribe. And I saw another in verse 4 of chapter 7, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then if you'll look, Revelation chapter 14 and verses 1 and 5, you see these people again. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And this evidently is that remnant that he's speaking about here. They're the ones who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan cannot destroy the woman. Therefore, he turns on anyone and everyone who worships the true and the living God. You say, but is there a time when these people actually turn to Christ? Yes, I think so. That's what we're talking about. You know, the Antichrist at the beginning of the tribulation period, he's everything that men would ever hope someone to be. But then he turns to become what we see here in these particular verses. He becomes a person who wants to be worshipped as God. And the Jews evidently have made an alliance with him for some period of time. And when this alliance is broken and he wants to sit in the temple of God and be worshipped as God, then they learn the truth that Jesus of Nazareth is the real Messiah. And they've turned him down and rejected him and crucified the Lord of glory. And they turn to him as a nation then. And that's when they become this remnant that's described here in the Word of God. Hell on earth is not the only hell. You know, I've heard people talk about, I've had all my hell here on earth, so I know that I'll never go to hell after I die. No one can have their hell on earth. I've just said that in order to illustrate a point and to get you to think. But it will be like hell because Satan will be on earth and his angels that followed him in rebellion against God will be with him on earth. And every kind of wickedness will be here on earth. And it'll be the culmination of the side of man that is dark and carnal and fleshly and sinful. It'll be the triumph of that particular time. Today our world system longs to be free from the restraining power of God. They long to be free from the restraining power of His Son, of His Holy Spirit, of His Word, and of His church, and of His people. And as we look at our circumstances, we know that in the field of education, there are those who are in places of leadership who would like to see the influence of God and God's people and God's Word set aside. I'm not saying, in fact, most of all the teachers that I've met, they feel strongly about God and God's Word. They're good Christian people, but I'm talking about men in places of authority have decided that education would be better if God was left out of it. Medicine is the same way. Many godly men of medicine, but some in religion, many men of God, but some who in religion would like to set God, the Jehovah God, outside of it and insert the God of self. In media, a few. In government, in labor, there are those who would like to get rid of God and the influence of God. In every facet of man's existence on this earth, and one of these days it will happen. But the earth will not rejoice when it happens. The God of this world will be the God of this world. Just as the millennial reign of Christ is a preview of heaven. You want to know what heaven's like? We look at the millennial reign and we can see what heaven will be like when we have a new earth and a new heaven. And all of God's people are moved on to the new earth and the new heaven. You look at the millennial reign and you can get a preview of heaven. But look at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, you get a preview of hell. Satan's Christ, that is Antichrist, becomes a pretender to the throne. He literally comes to the throne and sits upon a throne that ought to be occupied by Jesus Christ. His reign will be a preview of hell. The important part of all of these things that we study for me and you is that we give ourselves to Christ, that we trust Him and believe in Him, and that we do His commandments. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And these commandments are not grievous. That is, they're not back-breaking commandments. They're the things that God's people ought to do in order to represent God on this earth. Go to church. Give your money. Support godly things. Witness to your friends and neighbors. Read your Bible and pray. And you don't have anything to fear from these circumstances. You're not going to be here. You say, "Well, looks like if these things are in a particular time frame that even if I'm lost, I don't have anything to worry about." Let me show you something. As we study all of the events in the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, relating to Israel and things relating to the church in the book of Revelation and 2 Thessalonians, we just can't seem to squeeze them into a very brief period of time. But that's how all of these things will happen, in a brief period of time, in the death throes of Satan, in the agony of the last hours, these things will come to pass. You must not say, "It could happen to me." You must not say, "That's just a lot of stuff that's been used to scare little kids and old women for a long time. It hadn't ever come to pass, and so it will never come to pass." You must not say that. God forbids you to say that. So with open hearts, open minds, we welcome in the Christ of salvation, trusting and believing in Him and being saved as we studied by grace. This morning we're going to stand and sing, and as we do, if you're here and you're lost, would you come and trust in Jesus Christ? If you're here and you've never been baptized, would you come this morning and submit to baptism? If you're here and you're a Christian and you have scriptural baptism, but you're wondering, "Where can I find a place where I'm needed in the body of Christ? Where can I find a place where I can work and serve Him?" I believe Southwest offers that opportunity, and we invite you to come as we prayerfully sing this hymn of invitation.